Time is of the essence. I've got a lot to say, so sit back. We'll maybe provide you with coffees, and I won't keep you too late and too long. But we are leading up to Pentecost, and Ascension Day being Thursday. This is part of understanding the rhythm of the feasts that we have looked into and understood, and understanding what God speaks through His Word about how His people acknowledge certain times. But I want to read a lot of Scripture this morning, but I want to focus on key four words and understanding, because how the church often separates these into different categories. Okay, and these four words are knowledge. Okay, second one, understanding. The third one, wisdom. And the fourth one, power, linked with experience and encounter. And it's quite phenomenal how God leads us in meetings here, because so much of this is already being said about, you know, the things of feelings and experiencing things, but knowing stuff and understanding what God. So I want to read a few scriptures linked to each of these words, and then we'll kind of speak from there, because I want you to see these words are prominent in the Bible. I could have chosen so many different scriptures. I probably put too many here because they're all so good that they speak into these words of understanding of what they are. So what is knowledge? Knowledge is knowing. Okay, so we know God. Okay, if you read through the book of, I think it's 1 John, and that word know is all over that book. That you would know, that you would know the things of God. So here are a few passages that speak into know and to knowledge, okay? Right from the beginning, Genesis 1:16, and the Lord God commanded man, saying, you may surely eat of any tree in the garden, but of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you shall eat, you shall surely die. And we saw how all that all planned out. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Isaiah 11 and 12, and this verse actually, they say these sayings, they say these are the seven spirits of God. Because often in Revelation you read about the seven spirits of God. And these, they say this verse relates to that. 11:2 of Isaiah. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Okay, 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. So I have to read long passages because these are all such great verses. And let the Word of God settle in your spirits. Don't just thread it through your head and go, oh, that's sweet, it's nice. Let it touch your spirit, by which is granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue, knowledge. And with knowledge, now that you know, self-control. And self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the word knowledge. It's knowing. Understanding. 1 Kings 4:29 says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding. Okay, it's an understanding heart that he asked for, that I might be able to discern and understand things. Beyond measure and breadth of mind are like the sand of the seashore, he was given this. So Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all people from the east and the wisdom of Egypt. Exodus 31:3 says, and I have filled him, this is now a guy that designed all the people that were designing and making things in the tabernacle, in the temple, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence. The Bible says that's understanding, okay, and knowledge of all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and carving wood, to work in every craft. These people weren't part of the Levites that were called to serve in the temple. They were skilled people to design and put things in the temple. But another word for understanding, intelligence. AI. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, we won't go into that now. That's another whole sermon. Artificial intelligence. It's not real if you use the word artificial. My son, well, it is real, but it's not the one that's going to give. My son, Proverbs 2:1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, If you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. There's another verse in Isaiah 44:19 that uses that same Hebrew word that's used as understanding, and they use the word discernment. It's a discerning heart, an understanding heart, a heart with intelligence. Okay, and then we get wisdom, and we know prudence, wisdom, beautiful. Proverbs 8:12, I, wisdom, and now this is wisdom speaking. I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. Common sense and success belong to me, wisdom. Insight and strength are mine. Because of me, kings reign and rulers make just decrees. Rulers lead with my help and nobles make righteous judgments. I love all who love me. Those who search will surely find me. I have riches and honor, as well as enduring wealth and justice. My gifts are better than gold, even the purest gold. My wage is better than sterling silver. I, wisdom, walk in righteousness, in paths of justice. Those who love me inherit wealth. I will fill their treasures. It's talking about wisdom. James 3 in the New Covenant. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambitions in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Well said, James. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Many governments around the world. But the wisdom from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. All those things are good. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. But here comes the key element. That the church hovers in those three words. And it's all okay. But this next part is the most essential part to the church in the hour that we live in today. An encounter and the power of God. The power. Acts 1:7 says, Jesus, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power. You will encounter me. You will experience me when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Paul prays to the Ephesians in chapter 3:14. He says, for this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. It's not bad to have knowledge, but the love over supersedes all the understanding and knowing you can have, that you will be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. And I read earlier on in 2 Peter, it says that his divine power has granted you all things to pertain to life and godliness. Okay, it's knowledge to know that a tomato is a fruit. Okay, a tomato is a fruit. All fruit isn't grown in the ground. It hangs off a tree or hangs off a plant. It's wisdom to know that you don't put a tomato in a fruit salad. Thank you. You seem amazed. I thought everyone knew that thing. But you don't put tomato in a fruit salad. But it's a fruit. Okay? Okay, it's understanding to know that 220 volts running in the wires in this building, lighting all these lights, making all this stuff power up, that kind of stuff, 220 volts, okay? is a powerful surge. Okay, it's another thing to feel that power run through your body. I have experienced that. It's not fun. And you're like, heart doesn't tick right for the rest of the day. That was years ago, 25. I was working in a house and I touched the two wires together.
Yeah.
That wasn't wisdom to touch the alarm, to touch the cables. Okay? So there's understanding, wisdom, knowledge, but power. The power of God. Okay? Pankaj spoke beautifully to us last week about Daniel and how the church and how we as people must be uncompromising. Tracy alluded to that. Words of stuff like, even if God doesn't, we're going to believe. We trust him. And this is where we're standing these days. How many mainline denominations have compromised on gender issues and abortion in the church? We've got compromise in our own family. And it's asking of us something far more than just understanding and knowing and having wisdom how we approach this. You need the power of God to be able to stand. You can't make these decisions and understandings in your own knowledge and strength. You need the encounter and the experience of the Holy Spirit to strengthen you in these days. And a verse that stuck out for me about Daniel, but you see, Daniel knew the Lord, and Daniel 1:20 says this, and in every manner or matter of wisdom and understanding, above which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were on the kingdom. You know, it's a challenge in these days to live. Because everyone out there has a narrative, everybody has a thing to say, everybody's fighting for some ideology, everybody's defending all sorts of stuff. They don't even know what they're defending, they don't even know what they're fighting for, but they're fighting. And it's very difficult to have a narrative against things like that. And the world that's full of opinions and all those kind of things. Okay, and the world loves to debate and understand and know these things. But there's two coins to this, and I'm making it clear to us this morning. As we're leading up to Pentecost, and we're understanding, you see, knowledge and understanding are one thing. You can study, and you can argue the beliefs and the standpoints of the Christian faith. It's essentially called apologetics. And there are some guys online, you watch them, and I'm like, man, you are brilliant. They are brilliant. Okay? And there's one point of studying and having all that knowledge and having all that understanding from a cerebral point of view, but it has to come placed from inside of you, from a power that you've encountered God. Okay? See, when the Apostle Paul went to places, he often argued and reasoned with people. But there was the other aspect of it that he did not miss. Everything he did was because he had an encounter with God. On that Damascus road, he met the Lord. And he was blinded for days. And because of that encounter, it set him forth to stand for the truth. He didn't just decide, oh, I've decided I've changed, and then have all the knowledge in the world and go and argue with people. It was from the encounter that he argued. Because you're not arguing from your head. You're arguing from the depths of your spirit and understanding there's a way to live and how God has called us to be. So your knowledge is good, but without the encounter of his power, it's just information. It's just understanding. You see, and the church was birthed out of encounter. Okay, and the experience of the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we build up to the 24th of May, which is Pentecost Sunday, okay, we are living up to the point and understanding, well, God, meet with us. Touch us. We need a touch. Matt said it. Everyone's saying, we want more. We want to go deeper. He's more than enough. You can't say those words cerebrally and go, he's more than enough. You've got to feel it and experience it and know it. Yeah. It's got to be real to you. And that only comes to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That works inside of you. And all those words that are the power. I mean, if I look at my life, the ripe old age of 50, ancient now, as Florence keeps telling me, no, you're old material. You're old material now. I've only had key moments my whole life with God. I can maybe pinpoint 6 or 7 moments where he shaped all 50 years. It's not an everyday thing. It's moments in my life. Going back to Port Elizabeth, where we lived, and that woman used to sing in church. You've heard me refer to this ages. When I heard her sing, I felt something. I was encountering the presence of God. I didn't have language as a 6-year-old, but when Bertha Page sang, I remember standing staring at her, I felt the power of God. I mean, my young, small little brain and mind, I was like, there's something happening here. I didn't know what it was. Summer camps that we went to in my teen years, I encountered God powerfully in those moments. 25 plus years ago, God broke my heart for the church. Cried like a baby in the school hall because of the heart of God showing me his heart for his church that's broken. And so he's restoring and working in his body, and he's still doing it. He's still restoring stuff. Since 25 plus years ago, my passion and desire for the church hasn't wavered. Why? Because I encountered him. Yeah. I didn't decide in my head, oh, this would be a good idea to kind of like really love the church. I really need to love the church. You know, let me try harder to love the church. No. He touched me in the depths of my spirit by his power and changed me. And before leading this community, you've heard me say these things. Sitting in my man cave, just reading a book, minding my own business. And he came and I was drawn to this vision. And the angel said, are you prepared to lead an army? Yes, 2013, gather your, you will get your stripes. 2014, gather the troops. Man, it's been hard. But because of that encounter, I will never give up. Because we live in a day and age where people's many loves will grow cold. And the enemy is trying to destroy the church, but we keep standing. We keep believing. And in Turkey, when I was there 2016, I had this encounter with God. He just downloaded stuff to me and speaking to me that season. You see, it's those key moments, five, six moments, my whole life shaped everything about me. And it's not cerebral knowledge and understanding. Well, now that I know that stuff, there, I'll keep doing it. It comes from deep within. The power and the presence of Almighty God. And folks, you have to desire that. You have to long for that. You can't sit here in church and go, wow, there's a lovely, lovely message. You really tickled everything I love to hear and what to hear about. It's cerebral.
Yeah, come on.
And it's just going to make you feel good and touch your soul. Your soul, it's not going to be the thing that's going to drive you working on the things of God. It's your spirit. And when it touches the depth of your spirit, because my spirit bears witness with his spirit, and there's a yes and a yes that says to the Spirit of God. See, the power of when Jesus ascended. Let's go to Acts 1:14. So I read a lot of verses. We're going to read some more. Acts 1:14. And it says, now it's speaking about Jesus had ascended, and he says to them, you've heard me, for John will baptize with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit for many days to come now. And he speaks to them about fixed by his authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then he ascends into the heavens and disappears right in front of them. And the two angels say, like, the same way he left, he's going to return. Oh, Jesus, let that day come. But then it speaks further down. They were all gathered in the upper room. And the Sabbath's walk, they went back. And all the disciples were there. And it says in verse 14, all these with one accord. This is where we got one accord from. They were devoted together and were themselves in prayer together with the woman and Mary and the mothers of Jesus. And then they elected the another apostle that stood with them. But it said they were devoting themselves to prayer. I was saying to the leaders a couple of weeks ago, do you think the disciples knew what to do in the upper room? They've been with Jesus now 3.5 years. All his teaching, he's been saying to them, these are the things. Half the time they didn't understand it. They didn't actually get what was going down. And then he dies. And they're like, what? We've been left behind. But he said these things. Okay, the Emmaus Road guys didn't recognize him. He appeared to them for 40 days. And then the truth and the reality of this, right, it's starting to come real. But there was all just, oh, wait, I'm starting to get it now. They needed that encounter moment to seal everything Jesus had said. So if he's going to seal everything he's told you over your life, of your promises, the words that he's declared to you, it's sealed by the Holy Spirit. And they went back into the upper room. Some commentators speak about them appointing an apostle, another apostle. It says they were never told to do that. But they kind of thought, well, we had 12. We might have got another dude in here because Judas is the kind of like committed suicide and hung himself headlong in a field. Let's add another guy in and make us the 12 again. And so they did that whole thing. God doesn't say it's wrong, but then they just sit and wait. What were they doing for 10 days?
Yeah.
They had no strategy. They just had to wait and just trust God. What would they have done? They would have had to eat. It wasn't nowhere it says they prayed and fasted for 10 days. There were 120 in the upper room just talking. Well, he said this. Okay, well, then maybe it means that. Okay, well, let's just keep praying. Let's say, God, you show yourself strong. We were talking about stuff yesterday, and the reality of it is like only God can fix it. Well, God, you do what you can do. We don't know how you're going to do it. You do it. We trust you. We keep being faithfully believing of your words that you've said to us. We believe you. You are the God that redeems, vindicates, set things in place. And they just waited and prayed and waited and prayed. We can't even wait 10 minutes today before looking, oh, I don't know, it's not going to happen. And we just switch on to something else. It requires a patience to believe what he said was true. And our world is so quick and rushed today because we know so much. God is coming to his church in this season, and we have to show patience. And we have to believe and trust in the number of people. Thank you, Tina, for sharing that back against the wall. The number of people that's backs are against the wall. From just requiring like resources and things we need, family things. It's unbelievable what people are facing today. It gets a bit ridiculous. I'm getting a bit of a complex thinking, don't come and hang around me. Because you hang around me, things are going to go wrong in your life. That's what it looks like. And stuff. I don't mean that, but I mean it feels like that. Yeah, hang around. Stick around, please. There's challenging times, okay, but their hearts were engaged in prayer. And I want to highlight something to you about this difference as we're building up an understanding with Pentecost. The notes are so messed up now, I don't even know where I am. See, we live in a world today where knowledge is king. The more you know, the more you understand, and we are hungry for knowledge. We take onto it. Let me read you some stats of understanding of this stuff, because we are not going to get through and stand by what we know in this hour. It's going to be by who we know and have encountered the empowering presence and the equipping power of the Holy Spirit upon your life. I feel next week, heads up to anyone who's leading worship, we're going to sing one song and I'm going to preach first. And then we're going to worship. And we're going to just create space, because every time we worship and we do all this stuff, that messes up the rest of the meeting because we've got no time for it. So we're going to do it the other way around and try and create time, but it'll be messed up anyway, but we let God do what he wants to do. Okay? Yeah, let's just flow with it. Let's just meet church till 1 o'clock. It'll be a lot easier. You know? Not on Mother's Day, buddy. You're stepping on toes there now. Okay? Because you see, when you look at the disciples, I'm going to read you some stats now. When they stood before that Sanhedrin, the council that called them in, and these are the words that Peter used, because only when you know the king and they have an encounter, you know, they're not offended, they are just going to lunch, it's Mother's Day, I'm nearly finished. Okay? And stuff. Enjoy the lunch, guys. So let's all wave goodbye. Cheers, guys. Cheers, guys. Enjoy your lunch. Just say bye-bye to the guys online as well, that you're also going. Now, that's a lesson to any of you. If you're going to leave early, you're going to be made an example of. Yeah. You okay, Harold? You're fine. You just stick it out for the family, eh? You keep the family's name up here. You hold it out. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's going to be late for lunch. Yeah, good man. Yeah, good man. Yeah, they'll never do that again. Yeah. Anyway. But when Peter went and was called with John to stand before them, these are the things that happened. And he said, and they were set in the midst, and they inquired, and they asked them, by what power, okay, or by what name did you do this? They healed the guy. And they're trying to like say, who did this? By what power, whose name are you doing this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, not Peter defending and saying, come, bring it, bro. I'll argue under the table here, but I know exactly what I'm talking about. No, filled with the Holy Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. He's not arguing. He's standing on the truth. And he's not wavering. And he says to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done by to a crippled man, and by what means that man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And then he said this. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. I was invited to a Bible college to preach once at one of the morning seminars, and I felt God give me that passage. I've never been invited back. Because you can study until the cows come home. You can know all the stuff. You see, did you notice in this passage? Peter knew the word. He was quoting scripture without saying from this verse, and this, He's speaking about the cornerstone. He's speaking about the crucifixion. He's speaking about what has already been said in the Word, because he knew the one that was speaking about. Because he'd had an encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is after Pentecost. And they were doing all these miracles. And they didn't waver, they didn't back down, because they saw the boldness and the courage of these men. But they were ordinary, uneducated men. How do you know all this stuff? How do you stand with such boldness and conviction? Not in your own knowledge, not in your own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit that works in and through you. Okay? And what we live with today is the slow shift, and it's been over centuries, and the Lord has been restoring back to us over the last 70 years, okay, is a restoring back to this, but the slow shift has brought about the understanding that from knowledge and understanding and from the power of the Spirit, that we get close to God the more we reason, the more we debate, and the more we discuss, which has led to a study and cerebral training in the church. Why I say that is because many, through the centuries, you could not become a pastor until you had studied. Because your call means nothing here. You have to actually study. So everything in the church became cerebral. Let's debate, let's reason, let's talk about the things of God. And they ignored the power. And what God has been restoring back to us over the last 70 to 100 years is the revelation of understanding. Yes, know the Word. Know the truth the Word speaks to you. Get understanding. Like Daniel, they knew 10 times better than the enchanters and the magicians. They were good men. They understood stuff, but they knew the power of God, because they knew who God was. And when you know the power and the Holy Spirit works through, that's where there's the anointing that flows. Because when Peter and John were standing before that council, what are they feeling? They are feeling the power of God. It's the anointing that flows. And people go, what is this? It's not their eloquent words. It's not how good they are. It's because they knew the one that was in them. And when they spoke through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it gave them authority and understanding. You see, we've made the church all about cerebral understanding. That's why every time we come here on Sunday, we want to encounter God. But what God's showing us, and Kathleen said to me the other day, you know, sometimes what we do, we limit God and His glory that we desire to be on a Sunday morning. Okay? Last Monday when I was in the traffic for 2.5 hours to get to school, because there was this chaos out that way, I didn't feel the glory. But we can feel the glory outside of these four walls. He will manifest in your realities. He will be there for you. It's not bound for you. It's this community expression of being together, touching the power and the love of God. And we know we go leaving feeling, yes, God is for us. If He's for us, who can be against us? I'm not alone. I'm with others. And you're going to be an example for the kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit that rises inside of you. Often it's not having to say a lot. It's just how you are. Just your being and understanding. You have hope. There's a power that's working inside of you. But the church for centuries was caught in knowledge. And you need to know these things. And they teach good teachers, but with no anointing, of no power. Do you know the realities of the thing of knowledge? Here's some stats with understanding. Okay, this is straight off Google. Okay, the growth of human knowledge has shifted from a slow linear accumulation to an exponential explosion. Okay, with the speed of doubling, shrinking from centuries to mere hours, according to what they call knowledge doubling curve concept. Okay. So you take this idea, pre-1900s, so in the 1800s, and prior to that, and the linear growth with knowledge estimated to double every century. Okay? From, you go back to the 1100s, 1200s, they say knowledge would double every century. Okay? So people would start understanding more. How the world was 2,000 years ago, their knowledge and understanding was limited because of the time that they lived. Didn't say they couldn't achieve great things. We've heard the pyramids in Egypt and all things people created, doesn't mean they weren't clever. It was limited in understanding of knowledge. Okay, the mid-20th century, okay, following just after World War II, 1945, the doubling rate accelerated to 25 years. Every 25 years now, knowledge will double. Knowledge will double. Okay, from centuries to 25 years. Then in the late 20th century, by say 1982, they give that figure, knowledge was estimated to double every 13 months. Every year, doubles. Doubles. We know a hang of a lot more now than 100 years ago. Okay? And they say by the 21st, and in the 21st century, with the digital revolution of the internet and AI, and I heard something about AGI, have accelerated this to roughly, as it says, every 12 months with projections for every 12 hours coming up. Okay, in the century. So you can know a lot. You can have it all. Okay? That's terrible. For the church to stand in this hour, it's not what you know. It's going to be who you know. With knowledge doubling, let's take, it says the metric was the New York Times in 1917 to 2026 digital age. Okay, roughly every 100 years now to every 13 months. The world literacy 100 and something years ago was 23%. Today, world literacy is 86%. Okay? News velocity, okay, and how it traveled. It took days and weeks over 100 years ago to get to places. Today, it's instant. Instant. Someone goes on a video and clicks send, and everyone sees it immediately around the world. Okay? The primary medium that was used over 100 years ago was print or telegraph, sending information. It took time to send. Now, digital, social media, all over the place. And access to data over 100 years ago was scarce. And it was also centralized. So people held the power. Look at governments and how World War II was so effective because Goebbels, I think his name was the propaganda king for the Nazis. And you just put out what you need to do, and people just took it as, yeah, must be. This country lived under that for decades with the propaganda promoting a certain kind of picture, which was a total lie. Okay, because why? All the things were centralized. And you could control the information and the knowledge. Today, it's abundant and it's decentralized. Meaning everyone has access to it. Okay, I'll wrap up. You see, as we live as God's people in this hour, it's not going to know how much you know. It's going to be rooted down into experiencing the power and the magnificence of the Holy Spirit that is poured out to us. When you get the revelation and that settles deep into you and you understand this reality, yes, Jesus ascended and they stood there staring up. I mean, imagine being there. Imagine experiencing this stuff. I've never seen anyone levitate and fly into the sky. And none of those guys had either. And then you witness it right in front of you. Man. These guys were changed forever. That's why they changed the world. Because the things they experienced was like, this stuff is unbelievable. And he sends, and then they go and they wait. Well, I don't know. And they tarry, and they tarry. And so talk about it. He said that. Just pray and say, God, well, you know. And then on a moment, suddenly, the Spirit of God, like a rushing wind, blew into that room and changed everything in all their lives and hearts. They suddenly realized the power of what he'd been saying to us became real. Because he has the thing that we just kind of skim over sometimes and don't really catch the depth of this revelation. It was the Spirit of Jesus, their friend, who they walked with, they touched, they talked with him, they held him, they sat with him, and they heard all his stories. That same Jesus said, now I will come and live inside of you. That's why they felt such confidence because, well, he said he'll leave us, but he's going to send the one that's going to help us, and it's his Spirit. We're okay. We'll be fine. When he was here, we got into trouble. When he's not here, by his Spirit, we're still going to get into trouble, but we're going to be fine. It's the same assurance for you, folks. When your backs are against the wall, that's why Tino can arise like that, because he knows the power of the Almighty working inside of him. That's the circumstance, but God's heart for him and God's heart for each one of you is though you might feel your backs against the wall and the world's telling you you're a loser and the world's telling you you've got nothing to offer. And the world's narrative to you is that, but then you know, no. The Spirit inside of you says, no, I'm a child of God. I know who I am. I know who I belong to. And I want to encounter the living God. And I want to have those moments where I'm shaped and changed by encountering Him so that I can stand up to everything that's coming my way. All the voices that are loud in your voice, family voices, voices in businesses and company, the narratives of the world, whatever they might be, you can stand strong and go, no, that's not the truth. Aiden was the other day worried about someone mentioned him. He had a jersey on and his blazer. And he says, oh, you're the guy in grade 9. Your jersey makes you look fat. So he's like, oh, I'm worried about his jersey. I said, bro, he has the truth. What did I say to him? I said to him the words of stuff. Is that the truth? Okay. That boy's words to you. Is that the truth? No, it's not. Okay. So now what's happening is your identity is being shaped and understanding who you are. You're not fat, bro. Okay. Because it's not the truth. So if you have voices speaking to you and the power of God and Jesus that resides inside of you, you know the truth and you know the power of that which is for Him. I think I'm going to hold into this next week. Queen had a word that she sent me last week or something, sometime. And there's the battle of our minds that's taking place. The enemy's lying to us. And she saw somebody standing like with a sword pointing towards them. Going, and this is the frame of mind saying, I can't do this anymore. Oh, God. And there's that giving up mentality, giving up reality. We all know what it feels like. But she saw us, and we'll put this into practice next week and do this, and saw that sword turning around and then standing next to them as understanding, no, this sword is the sword of the Spirit. And this is what I wield of truth and understanding who I've been called to, because we're all reality. The reality of the back against the wall is a real thing. And we're going to speak into that next week, because it's the power of God, that verse I read, unto salvation. You see, the cross looks like folly. It looks like what a joke. But we know to us it's the power of God unto salvation, that we can boast in Christ and we can boast what He's done for us. So I want to encourage you as we kind of wrap up and finish here. I want to pray for Morton before he goes back to Malawi. Okay, we're going to declare over you, my brother, from this congregation that you left here 6 years ago now. Okay, we're going to speak life over you. But just learn to wait on the Lord. Take time over this next week just to sit and ponder of His word. Just to sit and allow Him to speak to you. Don't rush at things. I challenge you. Put your phone down for half an hour. Don't look at your phone. Don't look at devices. Don't look at anything. Just sit. And just wait. You see, there's so much knowledge, so much information. We are bombarded by stuff. It's doubled. It's increasing. All the more into us. The enemy knows how to distract us. He knows how to take you away from those moments and times just to be before the Lord. Just take a moment. Just leave it. Or put just gentle instrumental music on and just be. We need to learn what my dad always says. We don't need to be before we are. And if you are secure in who you are, it allows you to be a vessel for the things of the King and His kingdom. Okay, and we're building. We're going to go into this next week, because then we're going to build up to Pentecost. That kind of stuff. So Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that as we are desiring to go deeper, it's not knowing more and understanding more. Yes, we want wisdom, we want knowledge, we want understanding. That was Paul's prayer for the church, Lord, but it's the power of the infilling of the Holy Spirit that allows us to be these vessels that stand in this day and this hour. And I ask over every one of us, Lord Jesus, that we know the power of Your Holy Spirit working in and through us. And we honor You by the power of Your name. Amen. 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 Before we go, I just want to pray for Morton, and then we're going to get the kids to come in and kind of hand out chocolates to our incredible mothers. Okay, so we're going to do that. Morton, come stand with me, brother. And I know Errol and Tino, come and stand here. We're just going to lay hands on this man quickly and stuff. I want you guys to be aware of something. Okay? It has not been easy for this guy in Malawi. He's had endless kind of attacks, essentially from the enemy, that have thwarted so many of your business ideas. Okay? Now you're growing maize in a field, and the soil kind of is not fertile enough to produce land. This Malawi is one of the poorest countries in the world. Okay, and this man has faced many, many trials. But your faith, my brother, we commend you, that you keep believing and keeping trusting. And you have a heart in this community, because you were kind of sent from here. And we want to just pray over you that the Holy Spirit leads you and you encounter that power, but He gives you the power over the enemy and the things the enemy has laid in place to kind of hinder everything that you're doing for the King and the kingdom. And we want to speak over that. You want to add there? Thanks, Errol.
Yeah, I just felt, because we knew we were going to pray for you, but I felt that there was a season of discouragement that has taken place. More
yeah.
I know we haven't chatted. We saw each other at the conference, but I felt that God is saying, don't lay down your sword and leave it there. You've got to pick up your sword again, because you were discouraged. There's a lot of things you were trying, but like this morning, God is your source.
Yeah.
And we're here to encourage you. We're here to spur you on in those seasons of discouragement. Don't walk this road alone. You've come through hard times. And like that soil, like we spoke about, it didn't bear the fruit in its season. And I said to you, when you're going to go to the next land, you're going to take possession of the land.
Come on.
But you need the authority that God has already given you, but you've got to pick up your sword.
Yeah.
And that you've got to move in the might and the power and the confidence that God has called you to. And it's been hard. But we are going to continue to encourage you. We're going to continue to pray with you and for you. And when you go back this time, which is in a few days' time, I believe God is going to give you a new perspective.
Amen.
You're going to have new understanding. Do not lean on the arm of the flesh. You've got to hear this today. That season has happened.
Yeah.
And God is saying, lean on me.
Yeah.
Take possession of what I have given you.
Yeah.
And you've got to walk in that authority, Morton.
Yeah.
You have been called. The enemy's question played games with you on that one. You have been called.
Amen.
And God has given you what He's given you for that reason.
And this room is in agreement with you, my brother.
And Morten, I just want to confirm what Errol is saying. So we think that different is wrong. So maybe you had intentions, and it was good intentions, but it didn't. Maybe it didn't materialize the way that you wanted. But God is saying that you're going that side, but it's going to look different. But be okay. Be okay with it. God is still in it. He's still with you. He's still with your family.
Come on, just reach out a hand. We're going to just reach out to this man. Father, we want to bless you for Morten, Lizzie, and his family. We want to thank you, Lord, that they agreed to the call. When he spoke with me those years saying, I feel I'm being led back to Malawi. I feel God is leading us there. That promise and that truth of what he spoke to you has not left you, Morten. God spoke. And we go back to those words and saying that he led you back there and the Lord provided for you and in your home and all that's being set up. So Father, we want to pray right now by your Holy Spirit, an encounter that Morten has with you over the next week or two, even leading up to Pentecost, where you affirm everything of the truth that you've spoken over his heart and mind. And in the power of your Holy Spirit now, Lord, we silence every voice of the enemy, everything that the enemy would want what was set as a curse upon this man and his family, that they wouldn't flourish. We speak it now in the Spirit and we say, because you've given us the keys of the kingdom and we legislate this authority, we bind those things in the Spirit now and it will be bound in the heavenlies. And Father, we loose blessing and we loose favor and we loose your hand upon him, because now that will be loosed in the heavenlies over this man as well. And we speak blessing and favor and protection over all that he does for you in your kingdom, Lord Jesus. May you continue to provide. We speak to that field of maize and the other that is growing there. May it produce much fruit, Lord. May it produce much to sustain his family and to continue to provide for them in every way, Lord. You are the one who set the grounds in place. You own the lands, Lord, and the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And we declare that. You go and pray on that field, Morten. You go and believe that the Lord will produce a harvest and an abundance of a harvest that will flow. And we speak blessing and favor over our brother. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare these things. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, my brother. All right. Before we go, sorry, Pierre, do you need the bathroom? You can go. All right. We're making a spectacle of people, yeah. All the mothers, please stand if you can. Moms, okay, lads, come on, JC, boys, you're going to come to the front here, and then you guys can, we're going to hand them something as they kind of go from here. Let's just pray over the mothers quickly. Ladies, you can go to the far side. Yeah, and every mother, you can take on a chocolate there. If we have lots of money one year, we'll buy you roses, okay? That's my promise. But we don't have money for roses, because those oaks that sell the roses, they know we're all going to buy the roses, and they put the prices up, which is called unjust scales. Okay, all right. Let's just pray over the moms. Let's reach out a hand. Father, we want to bless you for mothers. Every one of us are children because a mother bore a child. Every one of us. And so, Father, no matter the circumstance and the situation every one of these mothers is in with their own children or their own mothers, Father, we just speak a blessing. We speak your favor upon their hearts and lives. We pray that over their bodies they will know healing. Lord, that over their minds they would know strength and courage. Father, I pray that where there's broken relationships, you would set in place with mothers, children, an order in place. And we just release your blessing and favor. Our hearts are ever thankful for moms and all they carry for their children. Their hearts so big. And so, Father, let them know that they are loved today in every single way. And we honor them and we exalt them in your name, we pray. Jesus. Amen. 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 So mothers, these boys have got some chocolates. The girls have got some chocolates for you. So just guys, you can go around, hand them to them. Just, you're standing there looking very pretty, but you must get to work. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, mothers, don't leave before you get one. So be blessed, everybody. Have a fantastic day. Stay warm. Stay dry. Thanks, DJ Keith.